Anybody with me here? And I said, I need a dead body to practice on. That's what I said, Sunday morning. Monday morning, we get a phone call. One of the men, her families in our church, their son was working on lines. He works with trees and wires and all that. I don't know exactly what he did. But he got too close to a wire. He was electrocuted and killed. I remember looking at my husband like, that's not what I wanted. This is not what I wanted. But we went to the hospital. The dad, man in our church, said, would you come? And he talked to the people who had his son's body and told them that basically we wanted to bless the body. And so they let my husband and I go back in with the bodies that were in there. And we laid our hand on him. And that was probably the first time that that had ever happened to me, where I'm actually in this room with bodies. And I was like, what are we supposed to do now? What are we supposed to do? And so we just laid our hands on him and we said, in Jesus' name, get up. He didn't get up. And so we stayed for a little bit and then they kind of peek in and your time's up, and so we left. And then we got favor with the people who owned the, I don't know if you call it a funeral home or what that is. And so he said, you can stay and pray if you want. And it got to be later, and he said, why don't you just shut the lights off when you're ready and close up? I was like, you're going to just leave us here? With dead bodies? I felt sort of okay that he was there because he's with dead bodies. But you know, now you're telling me you can stay and just shut the lights off and lock the door when you go. And I'm like, Paul said, I was with you in fear and trembling. I would rather be that we walk in that place of fear and say, I'm going to do it. By the grace of God, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to walk this out rather than sitting home saying, I can't do it. I can't do it. I don't feel an anointing, and so I can't do it. If you wait until you feel it, you may never get to that place where you raise the dead. And so I remember spending the night in the funeral home and having to overcome some fear stuff. Oof. Then I remember getting a phone call, and that man never raised up, but I made a declaration. I will do it again, and I will do it again, and I will do it again, because God said, you will raise the dead. I actually had somebody in a city change their will, some form of the will, so that if anything happens to them, before the funeral home gets their body, I'm supposed to come in and declare life over them. Hey. Somebody has to do it. And I'm saying, God, let it be me. See, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. There's a lot of warring against that we need. See, we're not called to fight this way. Our fight is not horizontal. Our fight is vertical. We've got to get spiritual warfare right. Because if you hang out long enough with me, you're not going to like me. You're going to probably feel like, who is she? And I'm done, right? How many know you hang out with anybody long enough, you start seeing their little quirks? Is that not true? Yes? I mean, try being married. And you see the quirks, right? But if we understand, my warfare is not with flesh and blood. See, it becomes a spiritual issue. And it's this way, and I fight my battles this way. What is it? Through worship. It's through his word. You get a hold of his word. Get a hold of a promise. Yes, you get a hold of what the word of God says. You get a hold of the promises. We'll talk more about it tomorrow. So anyways, I get this call to go and pray for a man who's on his deathbed. Long story, so I fly to where this man is. It's in a few states away. Charity and I fly down, and I have 3 days praying with this man as he's on his deathbed, and then he dies. But the prophetic word was, you're going to raise him up. It's like, whew, what do you do with that? When the family's gathering around, they know what the prophetic word is, because I wouldn't have gotten in where I was had I not told them what the word was. The man was not allowing anyone to see him because of what had happened in his body. But I had a prophetic word. And so they opened up their doors, and now the family's waiting for this miracle to happen. And it doesn't happen. And he's taken over to the funeral home. And the man that owns that funeral home has a family member that's dying of the same thing this man has just died of. And so he wants to see a miracle. And so he opens up the freezer. Said, go on in. So now we're in there. All these bodies are covered over. And I'm looking like he's leaving us too. Then I thought, if we raise up him, what's going to happen to all the other bodies? We stayed and stayed, and he didn't rise up. I have many excuses for not believing. But Jesus said, when I come to earth, will I really find faith on the earth? And I'm here to say, if you knew everything that I've faced in the last 2 years, I ought not to be standing. It is purely by the grace of God and a fight within me hanging on to what God has said to me. See, I've had prophetic words. Don't ever belittle. Kathy just said it. She wouldn't do it. Don't ever belittle the Lord speaking to you. Never do it. Some people say, well, I've got so many prophetic words, I don't need another word. Like, you're an idiot. Maybe I should have used the word stupid, because that's in the Bible. I hope I didn't offend anybody. When my kids were little, I have a good friend, and she just thought it was a hoot. She said, that's the worst your kids can ever do. They would get mad at each other, and they say, you stupid dummy brat. See, and that's what they do, and they'd get in trouble for saying it. And here I just used idiot. But the Bible does say stupid. Here's what I know. It's the word of the Lord that's carrying me. And I go back and I begin to rehearse. So you might want to pick up one of those little notebooks on the table. I don't know. They have Ignited on it. It's just a thin little black book. If you would, just pick one up, and I'll even just give it to you. Just pick it up, because we're going to use it tomorrow. See, the word of the Lord has been to me. And I go back and I rehearse it. You'll stand before leaders of nations. You will deliver the word of the Lord to kings and presidents of nations. You will go into high places, people who make decisions in the land, and you will release the word of the Lord over their life. There are times that God said you will be in the White House. And I think, whew, I'm going to go to the White House? I've stood outside the White House. But when I look and think that I'm going to go before presidents and leaders of nations, folks, I've been before 4 right now. 4 different presidents. And if you were to look at me, you'd say, how did you do that? I don't know how it happens. All I know is that I'm saying I won't give up. I'm not going to stop believing that I'm called to raise the dead. I will not stop. No matter what I see, no matter what's happened to me, I will not stop, because it's the word of the Lord. And Abraham went out looking for a city. He didn't even know where he was going. But he had a word from God. And I believe there's a charging this night in the atmosphere for the word of the Lord and what he's spoken. But you've got to grab it. This is actually a really good sign. I have been completely fine. Let me see if I can read this. I can't. You read it.
So in Romans chapter 8, it says, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your body, you will live. For as many of you are as led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if we are children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we might be glorified together." And so, you know, just listening to her tonight, we're glorified together. That means that we are heirs with him, joint heirs with him. It's not that it's less of us, we're with him. That means that we're glorified with him through him, and it's Christ in us, the hope of glory.
Woo-hoo-hoo. That was just the word right there. Now, listen, it's not a matter of, you know, walking around in arrogance, right? And let me say this, arrogance doesn't mean that you just think so much of yourself. It means you think less of other people. But see, I believe that there has to come within us a knowing of who we are, that I don't walk around. See, I could be completely depressed right now. Completely depressed because of what's gone on in my life. Absolutely depressed. But I close the door to what the enemy has tried to bring out. See, when I hear something happened even with Kathy, something rise within me that says, I am fed up with how the enemy comes after the people of God, and we seem to walk in no authority. And we try to figure out then what's going on. And God will use everything. And he brings good. He works all things together for our good. Yes, yes, he does. I believe it. It's in the Bible. It's in Romans. If you go over to Romans chapter 8. Right where Chair was just reading. He works all things together for our good. You're getting a little bit of a different side of me tonight. Because I think that the warrior has to rise within the church. We have to not succumb to the pressures and the sufferings that happen. Now, anybody, the Bible says, Paul said, anybody that desires to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. James said, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing this, that the testing of your faith produces patience, or it produces endurance, but it produces in us. So nothing is wasted. Absolutely nothing is wasted. But I do believe we need to come to an understanding of the authority that has been given to us. If I don't know, if somebody were to give me a gift tonight and I left it in the package because it's wrapped so beautifully, that gift will serve me no purpose. I have to unwrap that gift and I have to receive that gift for myself. Healing is a children's portion. And I don't know about you, but when I read about even Jonathan Edwards and George Whitfield and what happened, and then you go to Charles Finney or Mariah Woodworth Etter or Catherine Kuhlman and John G. Lake, and you read about what happened in their ministry, I'm saying, I want it now. I don't want to just read about what was happening in that day, but I want it now. And I believe the way that it's going to happen is that we rise up out of the ashes and we say, this is my inheritance. I've been given this inheritance. It's mine. And so when you walk into a place where something has just happened, we can take authority over the atmosphere. I believe God wants to give us keys of how to see the shift take place. But it begins with our personal life, folks. I want a shift in all kinds of areas. In government, I love government. I know some people hate, you know, politics, government, and I don't like getting into some of the nitty-gritty stuff. But I take such pleasure every time God opens a door for me to minister to somebody in government. I remember when an ambassador heard we were in town of another nation, and he got a hold of the pastor, and he said, you've got these guest ministers in. Would you schedule a time for me to meet with them? And so we get this place, an executive suite in a hotel, and we're meeting with this ambassador. And when I came into that room, I knew at that moment I am on assignment. And if I have all these little things about politics and I'm complaining and griping, I don't believe that God would give me access where he's given me access. Because sometimes we're fighting people and we hate people. It's like, I'm going to say something tonight just because I'm going to say it. Is I've heard, you know, there's the never Trumpers. And I'm saying this, don't ever be never anybody. That's not the heart of Jesus. Whether you like him or don't like him, it doesn't matter, but we're told to pray for those who are in those places. And some people say, well, you do that now because it's Donald Trump in office. No, I did it when President Obama was in office, and I didn't agree with everything President Obama was doing. I don't agree with everything that President Trump does. That doesn't matter, and they don't ask me my opinion. And what do? We put everything out on social media. Everything has to go out on social media. How we feel. How we feel. The Bible says, commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. And you know what I'm finding as I pray for people in governmental positions? I'm falling in love with them. I mean, I fall in love with them. I remember a time when President Obama came to me in my dream, and he looked at me. He was going through this line, and I happened to be just at this one location. This is a dream, but he came by, and he said, the stress is great. I knew at that point God was putting me on assignment to pray for that man. So I don't think any of us understand sometimes the stress that can be in that kind of a place. A lot. I'm not trying to upset any apple cart tonight or make anybody mad, but I think that I'm getting mad at the enemy. I'm tired of what he's done, and I'm saying, Lord, the worshiping army of God is arising, and there's a new authority that I believe we can step into because he's given it to us. It's not new to him, but it's new to us because we haven't walked in the fullness. How many of you can say, I haven't walked in the fullness? How about, Mark 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. Cast out devils? Do we cast out devils in the church? I don't know. Do we do that? You'll speak with new tongues, you'll take up serpents, and if you drink any deadly thing, it shall by no means hurt you. You will lay hands on the sick. Lay hands. Just lay hands. Doesn't even say to pray. It says lay hands on the sick and they will recover. But see, if I don't know that, I'm just laying hands because, oh, I feel bad for somebody. But if I know that these hands are a weapon against disease and sickness, there's something that happens that I know I'm not just laying a hand on somebody, but I am charging this body with healing. She will recover. How about in Matthew, the great, what we say, another great, there's actually two, Mark 16 and Matthew 28. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Do you know some of the wording isn't even in the original? It doesn't say go make disciples. It says go disciple nations. Big difference. You're a thinker. You'll think this one through. Okay, go and make disciples brings it down kind of to a lower level. I can go and make a disciple, right? But go disciple nations? Ooh. And so probably the translators thought, I don't think anybody can really do that. So we're not going to disciple nations. No, we're going to make it go and make disciples. But it actually says, go disciple nations. How do you disciple nations? We'll talk more about that tomorrow. The sister right here, what's your name, baby? Shirley. Okay, Shirley. Shirley, I see just a... like this. Have you ever stood in front of those mirrors that can make you look like you're really tall or really short or really wide or really thin, right? And I see that mirror, you standing in front of that mirror, and I believe what God is saying is he's bringing you to a new understanding of who you are, and that there not be any kind of thing of past days. Do I measure up here? Do I measure up there? Am I fitting in here? Am I okay here? I saw the Lord just take all of that stuff away from you and bring you to a new understanding. It's like something of past days is shaken off of you. It's just being shaken off of you, and you're having that mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, right? And so it's like the mind of Christ. So when you look in the mirror, you begin to see the Lord. And the love of God is being poured out all over you. And it's going to flow from you. And I had this thing happen to me as I was sitting here tonight. It's happened a couple of times, but Bob Jones came walking right toward me. And he just looked me in the eye. You know who Bob Jones is? He was a prophet that went home to be with the Lord maybe 4 or 5 years ago. On Valentine's Day. That's right. And the thing that I love about Bob Jones is he actually died in 1988, I think. 88, 89. And he stood before the Lord. And the Lord said, did you learn how to love? And the Lord sent him back so that he could love. And if you were ever around Bob Jones, and I got to be around him a number of times, you felt loved. Whether you liked him or not, you felt loved. And he was a prophet. There's some really cool stories with him. He was coming into a city up in New York near us, and I had heard about him, but I didn't know who he was. But I'd heard some weird things about him, and I remember saying it one of the times where people were, you know, I don't ever want to be in the place where I'm criticizing brothers and sisters. I don't. I want to love, and I want to be known for love. And so anyways, I just said, as they were criticizing Bob Jones, I said, I love Bob Jones. And then I just walked away. I didn't know that what I did that day was going to open the door for me to know Bob Jones. And so he's up in the city, and my husband and I go, and it's packed out. People are, and I'm trying to figure out who's Bob Jones. Which one is Bob Jones? You know, I've defended him. I want to know who he is. And they finally come to the place, worship has happened, and announcements and offering, and they introduce Bob Jones. And Bob Jones gets up and walks over, and he had on sweatpants and these crumpled white socks with black shoes. And I thought, that's a prophet? How many of you know that we have sometimes ideas that are not God ideas, right? And so Bob Jones talked that night, and honestly, I couldn't follow him. I didn't know what he was talking about, and I thought I was lost somewhere. I thought, I'm not getting it. But he wanted to pray and bless people, and so people were going to line up and just put their hands out like this. I realize it's 9 o'clock, so I'll do this really quickly. Put their hands out like this, and he's just going to put his hands over yours and bless you, right? And so I'm like, all right, well, we can do that, and I want a blessing from the prophet. And then he says, I can always tell when someone comes through and they're an intercessor because their hands turn purple. And I was like, oh, dear. Okay, Bob, you go first. And that's literally, I put my husband first, and he goes through. By the time we got up to him, Bob's hands were out, and he said, yep, you're an intercessor. I thought, did his hands really turn purple? I didn't see it. I don't know if they turned purple. And then it was my turn, and I was standing in front of him just kind of looking at him, and then I looked down at my hands, and I could not believe it, but one hand was purple, like what the girls are wearing, and the other hand was white. And he's calling everybody over that had brought him in, all these pastors in the city. And he said, you've got to come see this. You have to see this. And I'm looking at him like, what in the world? What is that? And so he went on prophesying about my calling and going into nations and being a teacher in the body of Christ, not only an intercessor, but a teacher. And so anyways, that kind of opened the door a little bit for me getting to know Bob Jones, and then I've sat with him, and I can tell you more stories of what God did with that. But I saw Bob Jones come tonight, and he's gone home to glory. But anyways, he just looked me in the eye, and when I looked at you, I saw Bob Jones again. And so I believe God is bringing you to a deeper level of love. You've been hurt a lot, and there's been a lot of betrayal, and there's been all kinds of things that have happened of injustice around you, but God says, I'm giving you the way of love, and stay in the way of love, and you're going to see the enemy defeated and the hand of God work miracles on your behalf. And so, Lord, I bless her right now in Jesus' name. Amen. And I took 5 minutes over. I'm sorry. Oh, I can go as long as, she said I can go as long as I want. All right. Yes. Okay, so this is the little book, if you could get that so that you have it tomorrow. I don't know if I have enough, but probably. Maybe not. Okay, maybe not. But yeah, until they're gone anyways. I'll tell you one more story with Bob Jones. I love that man. We brought him in several times for conferences, and one of the times we had him in, although, I mean, he wasn't, I'll back up, I was in another service, and in the middle of worship, I'd had a rough day, but I've learned, you know, you just have to set your sights on the Lord, right? And so I pushed all of that aside. And I said, I'm going to worship the Lord. And I got lost in worship, and I literally felt like somebody lifted a lid open in my head, pulled it open, and I flew out of my body. I could feel myself flying super fast in the air, and I landed in a prison cell with a black man. And I stood in that cell, and I walked over to him, and he just stared at me, and I put my hands on his cheeks, and I said, Jesus. And then I was back in the worship service. And so the place was packed out. There was a balcony, and I got up to speak, and I'm telling everybody what happened. And I know for some people, they're like, what in the world are you talking about? But see, I believe that we can be translated. It ought not to be so strange. It ought to be the normal. Yes. And so anyways, I really like you. Like, really, really like you. Anyway, so Shirley, I said at that meeting, I said, who has a son in prison? And there was one person, a lady in the very back row, and she came, stood And she said, my son is in prison. I told her what happened. I said, I was just in the prison cell with him. You need to go visit him and find out what happened on this Friday night at 7:45 in the evening, because I believe Jesus just manifested himself to him. And she said, well, he's a Muslim, and he'll never get out of prison because of what he did. And I said, well, please go visit him. It was a month later, she came into a meeting, and she said, I went to visit my son, like you said. And at 7:45 on that Friday night, Jesus walked into his cell. She's come back several times to say this to me. He's still preaching in prison. See, God knows how to redeem. So Bob Jones, I'm in a meeting with Bob Jones. We have him in for this conference. And I realized he had sat down. I wanted to make sure he was okay or see if he needed anything. And so I just sat down quietly and I said, Bob, are you okay? Do you need anything? And he put his hand on my leg. At that point, it's like, I don't move. Okay, what's going on? And he began to prophesy to me. And he said, you're going to be translated a lot. God's going to send you over a lot into Asia. You're going to walk people out of prison. And they're going to come and find you in meetings and say, I'm where I'm at today because you came to my country. And you're going to say, but I've never been to your country. And they're going to say, oh, yes, you've been to my country because you walked me out of prison. And when I say that I saw Bob Jones with you, that's not anything small. It's not anything significant. I believe that that mantle of love is coming upon your life in a new way. I don't know you. I don't think I've ever even met you. But I know this, that God has a purpose for you. And that mantle of love is resting on your life. As of this day, nothing will be the same. Lord, I bless her in Jesus' name. Amen. Pamela, I see you like working really hard. You know how to just kind of organize and administrate things and keep track of things. And I see lots of people looking to you for counsel and advice and sound wisdom. I see you taking up the cause of young ones and caring about what happens to them and being an advocate for them. And knowing that God has put justice on the inside of you, and it's like it's been there, and the Lord's done a deep work of healing in your life, and you can look back through the years, and you see where God was with you, and he held you, and he preserved you, and he kept you for this day, that you might take up the cause of others and see justice in their lives and healing come to them. And many people are going to turn back and say, it's you. It was you that saw me. It was you that rescued. It was you that came and stood with me. And the Lord says, I'm giving you a mandate from heaven itself that you step into that I've called you to do. And the Lord says, there are times that it will be the men that will look at you like, who do you think you are? But God says, I don't want you to cringe back, and I don't want you to look at their faces. I want you to look straight out and know that I am commissioning you as one who can stand in the gap for others and not back down. I'm going to give you a back of steel, that you would not be one who would bend because of the criticism around you. And the Lord says, I will protect you, and I will shield you, and I will give you success. Ha! Whew! Even some I see sex trafficking, and I see you getting involved. Ha! There will be some who will say you're like an angel of God that was sent in right at the right time. Lord, I leave deposit wisdom upon my sister right now, that you know her. I pray your presence to be so strong around her that no matter where she goes, she feels you everywhere she goes and knows. Angels are on assignment with her. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Tough. You're going to be tough, 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 tough. One of my first encounters, Shirley, I finally got up the nerve one time to go over and just introduce myself to Bob Jones. This is before we had him in. I was at a retreat, and I had just finished a 40-day fast, and I said, God, I want to know you like Moses knew you. And then I had this crazy dream. I don't remember what it is now, and Bob couldn't interpret it. He would often help me figure out what dreams were. And so I just said, I'm going to go to Bob Jones. He was sitting at the table, and everybody had left. And I thought, there's my opportunity, my chance. And so I run over, and I sit down, and I say, hi, Bob. And I told him who I was, and I said, I had this dream. And I probably talked to Mile a minute because I was so nervous. You know how that can be. And I tell him the dream, and he looks at me and said, you want me to tell you what I see? I said, yes. Do you know he never told me what the dream was? And I don't remember even what the dream was to this day. But see, only my husband and I that were there knew that I had just finished a 40-day fast, saying, God, I want to know you like Moses knew you. And he said, I see a blonde-headed woman climbing the mountain. And you've said, God, I want to know you like Moses knew you. And he went on about me climbing the mountain of God. From that time forward, he said, you know, when you climb a mountain, the air gets thinner. I have it happen to me a lot. I'll be ministering, and it's like the air gets thinner. And then I came back away, and there was a time I said, I don't want that breathing thing, God. I mean, that's going to irritate people, you know. So just take that away. I can climb the mountain without that. And then it all stopped. And I would get up, and I would feel no anointing. I went back and I said, please, would you let me climb the mountain again? I don't care what I look like. I don't care what I sound like. But I've got to have you. Keep climbing. Keep climbing. Keep climbing. The sister in the back row with black turtleneck on. What's your name? Kathy. Kathy with a K or a C? All right. I'm K too. You are too. Three. Okay, there's three. Four. Five. Wow, hey. Any more Kathys? With a K. Hey. Kathy, I saw you hanging on to the horns of the altar. And David, actually, I love this. He said, you know, bind me with cords to the horns of the altar. He knew that there was a tendency within him to kind of want to get away from things. And so he said to the Lord, bind me to your altar. And I see you making that kind of wild, outrageous prayer because you need God and you need his presence. And saying, you don't like everything that you're facing and what you've walked through, but you know one thing. Just as Joshua said, as for me and my house, I'm going to serve God. And you're not going to let go. But you're saying, God, bind me to your will. Bind me to your altar. Whatever you have for me, I will do. I'm not going to run away from you. There's no place I can go. Remember when Jesus gave a hard statement to all the multitude, the disciples, and he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. And remember what happened. The Bible says many walked away. What's he do? He turns to the 12 that he's chosen. He said, what are you going to do? Are you going to leave me too? And what they said is, where else could we go? You have the words, right? And the Lord has the words that you need, and he is going to make things right. And so as you cling to him, you're going to find that it's going to become clearer in the days going ahead of what it is he's calling you to do. He's with you, and he'll never leave you. He'll never, ever forsake you. So, Lord, I bless what you're doing in her. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. The sister with the glasses on your head, Teresa. Teresa, I saw you spinning and, like, just twirling around. You know how little girls, when they put on a dress, it just spins and they love to just twirl? I can remember finding a couple of dresses one day in a store, and my granddaughters were a little bit younger at the time. They loved those twirly things, and so I had to get them because I knew it would just bring joy to them because they got to spin and watch that skirt go all the way out. I feel like God's bringing you to a time where he's going to begin to lavish you with his love, and he's like taking you back to even when you were a little girl and bringing you to that place of freedom where you know you have the Father's eyes on you, and he loves you, and he cares about you, and he loves to see you full of joy. You're going to be a joy bringer. Everywhere you go, joy is going to follow you. And the Lord says you've learned how to pick yourself up. Even when the going got tough, you refused to be taken down, and you found that just as Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is your strength, and you have proceeded forward saying, I've got the joy. I've got the joy. I've got the joy. Even when you didn't feel like it, I've got the joy. I've got the joy. And because you persisted, God says, I've given you joy, and it's going to spring up like a well within you. And you're not going to have to work. It's like, you know, you used to have to prime the pump. You ever seen those old pumps? I had one, I remember. Probably some people in here have no idea what it even is, but you'd have to prime that pump. And I see you where you've just worked and worked and worked and worked. But now it's just going to flow out of you. Jesus said, out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. So Lord, I bless what you're doing in her. Whew, in Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. The sister like this over here, what's your name, baby? Stephanie? Stephanie, I just saw the Lord come over and put like his, like a robe over you. And it just reminds me as I'm seeing that come around you of the safety and protection of God on your life and how the Lord has watched over you. And there has been those seasons where you felt very vulnerable and you didn't know how things were going to turn out, but you put your hope in God. And you knew that as you hoped in God, there was no way that you would fail, because he is the lifter up of your head, and he's lifting your head up. Job, in the midst of his trial, made a declaration that I love, and he said, I know that my Redeemer lives. He knew, even at where he was at, where he had lost everything, he had a Redeemer, and his faith was in the Redeemer. The faith was in the goodness of God. Remember, David said, I would have lost heart, except I believed I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Continue to look up and look out and know that God says the days ahead will get brighter and it will get better. Just as the scripture says, the path of the just gets brighter and brighter. God says, I'm going to cause the path ahead to be clearer and brighter and better than it's ever been. So Lord, I bless her, right? You've suffered. It's like even loss. And the Lord says, I'm doing a work of healing. in your heart and bringing you to that place of knowing that I am your lover and you are the apple of my eye. So Lord, I bless her right now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I see you looking over things, like looking over, reading things and looking for things. And I feel like God's going to give you an eye to see. Like things are going to come quickly to you and you're going to discern what's going on. And so, Lord, I charge her right now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, it's 9:25 and I will... thank you for being attentive tonight and listening as I just shared from my heart. And I do feel like we're in this together. All of creation is groaning for the revealing of God's people to arise on the scene. And see, I think right in this room, there might be some senators. There might be some mayors right here. There might be teachers that can make a difference in the school system. Yes. And may God stir our hearts with what he's called us to do. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Kathy.